command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beacon for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Rabbi with the Ink-Stained Hands, was written by Mark Siegel. It is one of a series of programs dramatizing outstanding moments in American Jewish history.
Trouble.
Ah, Otto, the sprinting press. Listen to it. Like an old gate, it creaks.
I'll admit it's a little noisy, Rabbi, but it does the job.
Yeah, it does the job. But I tell you, Otto.
What, Rabbi?
I tell you, this printing press is much noisier than the last one when they destroy this press, Otto. We get a nice new quiet printing press, yeah?
We never did get a new printing press. And that one, the last press on which we printed Sinai, the newspaper of our congregation, was the most stubborn machine I ever worked on. It creaked and groaned and screamed. Yet out of all that noise, there came words which sang with beauty and conviction. The noise of our printing press was the sound of the birth of freedom. There were some who used to think the rabbi was like our printing press, just plain stubborn. Rabbi David Einhorn, they'd say, he's the most stubborn man in Baltimore. And perhaps they were right. He was stubborn, as stubborn and courageous and single-minded as an Old Testament prophet. I know. I was his printer from the day we published the first issue of Sinai. That was in 1855, 6 years ago. And from the beginning, there were some people who questioned his right to be stubborn.
Rabbi. Rabbi, it's very difficult to talk.
Wait, I stopped the machine. Now, what was it you say, Mr. Schoenberg?
I was saying, Rabbi Einhorn, that it's impossible to talk over the clatter of that machine.
Are so? We go into my office, then. Otto.
Yes, Rabbi Einhorn.
Otto, you go on printing, yeah? I take Mr. Schoenberg into my office.
Right, Rabbi.
You follow me, Mr. Schoenberg, yeah? Be careful of your clothes, I think. It's a little dusty in this cellar.
Dusty? Dust doesn't form in layers 2 inches thick, Rabbi.
So a little dirty, then. Go in, please. Here, I clean a chair for you. Sit down, Mr. Schoenberg.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Now, you were saying, Mr. Schoenberg?
I was saying, Rabbi, that some of the members of the synagogue have asked me to talk to you.
They're afraid to talk to me themselves?
Oh, not at all, Rabbi. It just seemed simpler this way.
Simpler, Mr. Schoenberg? It's so important, then?
No, Rabbi. It's just that,
Please, Mr. Schoenberg, you say it, yeah?
Well, I'll try, Rabbi. It's just that a good many of us in the congregation feel that working in a dirty cellar doesn't befit the dignity of the rabbi of the Har Sinai Synagogue.
Dignity? That I print a newspaper?
This manual labor, Rabbi, it's just not suitable to your position.
Ah, Mr. Schoenberg, creative labor, no matter how humble it seems, that's always fitting. To labor with one's hands, that is even a form of worship.
Perhaps our concept of the rabbinate is not in complete agreement with yours, Rabbi.
No, Mr. Schoenberg?
No, Rabbi Einhorn. I didn't wish to put it this directly, Rabbi, but our congregation does not enjoy having a rabbi with ink-stained hands.
Yeah, I see. Mr. Schoenberg, you have been direct with me. I will be direct with you, yeah?
Good, Rabbi. I am listening.
I will ask you a question. Is it the printer's ink on my hands you object to, or is it what I write with ink that you do not like?
Perhaps you will understand better if you know just one sentence from one of Rabbi Einhorn's editorials in Sinai. I remember thinking as I set the type that it was a sentence which might not be received too kindly in Baltimore in that year of 1855.
All right, Otto, you ready?
Yes, Rabbi.
The last sentence, then. Is it anything else, then, but a deed of rebellion against God? You have that, Otto?
Yes, Rabbi. Go right ahead.
Is it anything else, then, but a deed of rebellion against God to enslave human beings created in his image and to degrade them to a state of beasts having no will of their own?
It was soon after we printed that editorial that Mr. Schoenberg visited us. And it was soon after Mr. Schoenberg's visit that the rabbi was called to a meeting of the board of directors at the synagogue.
Well, I think
Rabbi, this is a serious matter.
Yeah, that I can see, Mr. Lowenthal. The meetings of the board, they're not often so well attended.
please, gentlemen.
Rabbi, I hope you will understand. We respect your scholarship. We respect your leadership. But
as Mr. Schoenberg says, you don't like the ink on my hand.
Exactly. Mr. Schoenberg, in fact, has proposed that you discontinue publication of your newspaper.
Because he thinks it is not dignified for a rabbi to be a printer.
We knew you would understand, Rabbi.
Yeah, Mr. Schoenberg, I understand. Gentlemen, I ask you a question, all of you. Why did you bring me here from Austria?
Because of your reputation, of course, Rabbi. As a scholar, as a great speaker, as a teacher.
Yeah, good. But why did I come? You can answer that?
Well, not as well as you can, I'm sure, Rabbi.
Well, I tell you then. I came because I thought there in America is freedom. I thought there no government will close down a synagogue. There a man may pray as he will, believe as he will.
Mr. Chairman, this is hardly relevant to our discussion.
Oh, please, Mr. Schoenberg, let the rabbi continue.
Thank you. Then I come here. I find there is freedom, blessed freedom, yes. But I find there is slavery, too. How can I be silent? I'm the same man I was in Austria.
Rabbi, you miss the point. This is not Austria. This is Maryland.
Do you suppose the Almighty recognizes the state boundaries, Mr. Schoenberg?
Oh, Rabbi, if I understand what Mr. Schoenberg is saying...
What do you think he is saying, Mr. Lowenthal?
He is saying that there are matters of custom.
Does custom justify an evil?
Rabbi, slavery is as old as Maryland.
Oh, it is older. That's no reason for accepting it.
Oh, Rabbi, I don't think you understand. We don't support slavery.
Please, Chairman, please. You think I don't understand? I understand. The pro-slavery forces in Maryland, they're very strong.
Yeah,
very powerful.
Exactly, Rabbi.
And you, Mr. Schoenberg, perhaps you don't support slavery, but you don't want to antagonize your neighbors.
I'm glad to see you're taking a practical view of the matter at last, Rabbi.
Yeah, I take a practical view. I take a moral view and a practical view. You know my moral view already.
Yes, I would say we do, Rabbi.
Well, now I tell you, I will be bound by what you decide. But before you vote on whether you want a rabbi with ink-stained hands, I tell you my practical view.
We're listening, Rabbi.
I tell you something I have learned in Austria, in Germany, too. While one minority is oppressed, any minority.
Yes, Rabbi, what are you getting at?
While one man is oppressed, no other man is free. No, I go further. While any minority is in slavery, not even the majority is free. Please, you will let me know how you vote.
They voted to let him continue the publication of Sinai. and in its pages he spoke out strongly for freedom, for brotherhood, for an end to enslavement of one man by another. And while we worked together on the old press in the dusty cellar, the years passed, and the crisis deepened.
So, Otto? Yeah, it's a good job.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Volume 4, number 1. Volume 4. I tell you, Otto, when we started, I never thought she would be printing Sinai for 4 years. 4 years.
What's happened in those 4 years, Rabbi?
That's true. Perhaps more will happen in the next few days.
What do you mean?
Otto, did you read the editorial in this issue?
Of course I read it. I set the type.
Well, I don't think some people will like this editorial.
Well, it won't be the first time, Rabbi.
That's true, but I'm afraid they won't like this one particularly. It favors Mr. Lincoln. They're not very fond of Mr. Lincoln in Baltimore.
Rabbi Einhorn?
Yes, that is my name.
They said you were German.
Oh, I came from Germany originally.
But you don't even speak with an accent.
Is it important that I should?
No, no, it's not. Rabbi, I've come here as a friend.
Good. I don't believe I've had the pleasure of meeting you before.
Yeah, that's true. Perhaps it's better that you don't know my name.
I don't understand. But if you tell me that it's better, I won't ask it.
Rabbi, I'll be brief. I don't agree with your abolitionist sentiments.
I see. You have that right.
But I don't want to see any violence done either.
You are warning me?
Precisely.
I'm rather used to such warnings.
I've come here for your own good, Rabbi. There's a lot of talk about you around Baltimore.
What did they say, sir?
They say you're dangerous.
I am dangerous?
There are some folks who are tired of what you've been printing in your paper, Rabbi.
Do they say what I print is untruthful?
Oh, they don't bother. But you'd be wise to stop writing what you've been writing.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say, your friends?
Well, they don't say it quite that gently, Rabbi, but that's an idea what they say.
I see. What else do they say, my friend?
Great many other things, Rabbi, I'd rather not repeat.
Such as?
You really want to know, Rabbi?
It might prove educational.
Glad to oblige. What they say mostly, Rabbi, is, why don't you go back where you came from?
Well, there you have it, Rabbi. I have had a visitor. Mr. Schoenberg has had a visitor. Every member of the board has had a visitor.
Mm-hmm. Was he a soft-spoken gentleman, Mr. Lowenthal?
He was, Rabbi.
Quite polite?
In his language, Rabbi,
but not in his sentiments.
Exactly.
Rabbi Einhorn.
Yes, Mr. Schoenberg.
I don't think it matters very much who the man who visited us was.
Mr. Schoenberg, did he ask you if you were a Native American? Was he surprised when you spoke without an accent?
Of course, Rabbi. He was a know-nothing. We're all aware of that.
And that is not the point?
We're here to discuss the newspaper, Rabbi.
I think Mr. Schoenberg's right, Rabbi.
You would desert your principles because they are attacked? I don't understand.
Rabbi, we've all been warned. 4 years ago, when you first came to us, you taught us that custom doesn't justify evil. We accepted that, Rabbi. But the times have changed in these years.
That's just what I've been trying to say, Rabbi. It's a question of safety, not a question of right and wrong.
Mr. Schoenberg, the greatest safety man has is to be in the right.
Rabbi Einhorn, don't you have any concern for the well-being of this congregation?
It isn't enough to be concerned only with the well-being of our own congregation, Mr. Schoenberg. There is a larger congregation.
I don't understand, Rabbi.
The congregation of all mankind, Mr. Lowenthal.
That's a big responsibility for one rabbi.
We bear the responsibility jointly, Mr. Schoenberg.
Rabbi Einhorn, you're right, of course. You're always right. But will you answer me one question?
Ask it, Mr. Schoenberg.
All right, I'll ask it. Why are you so stubborn?
Do you mind if I answer with the question, Mr. Schoenberg?
No, not at all, Rabbi.
If Moses had been less stubborn,
Yes, Rabbi?
If Moses had been less stubborn, do you think you and I would be here discussing other people's slavery?
It would be easy to say that all the leaders of the congregation agreed with Rabbi Einhorn, but they did not. Some considered him foolhardy. Some considered him heroic. But all, even those who opposed the publication of our newspaper, had come to respect his integrity and the force of his conviction.
Yes, come in, please.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Oh, Mr. Schoenberg, I'm glad you could come.
You expected me?
Oh, I hoped you would come after yesterday's meeting. If you hadn't, I would have visited you. I wanted to apologize.
But, Rabbi, that's why I've come here, to apologize.
Oh, it was I who spoke sharply. If you have forgiven me, I'm grateful.
Well, I realized afterwards, Rabbi, that you could speak.
But you still think we should not publish Sinai?
For many reasons.
Mr. Schoenberg, in all good spirit, I must ask you, where would you draw the line?
What line,
the
Rabbi?
The line of our responsibility to others.
Rabbi, I've always said time and again, I am not a supporter of slavery.
That is no longer the whole issue, Mr. Schoenberg, as you know.
Then what is, Rabbi?
The whole issue? The sanctity and freedom and uniqueness of man.
That's a big jump, Rabbi.
It goes by little steps, Mr. Schoenberg. A small compromise leads to a bigger one.
Rabbi, you're an idealist. To go on publishing your newspaper is dangerous.
Perhaps it is more dangerous not to.
I don't think you understand the lengths to which these pro-slavery men will go.
I think I estimate the possibilities correctly, Mr. Schoenberg.
And you are willing to take that chance?
I do not think there is a choice.
Rabbi, I don't know if you're a wise man, but you are certainly a selfless one.
A selfless one, Mr. Schoenberg? No, not at all. I'm very much concerned with myself.
You are? It is a new way, then.
No, not new. Very old, Mr. Schoenberg. Do you know the words of Rabbi Hillel?
Which words, Rabbi?
A few words for all time, Mr. Schoenberg. If I am not for myself, who will be for me? And if I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when?
If not now, when? They were words which took on a different meaning for me. For if there were members of the congregation like Mr. Schoenberg who came slowly to see Rabbi Einhorn's point of view, there were others like me who wondered as the months went on whether there would ever be an end to slavery.
Otto, what is troubling you all the time lately? There are mistakes in the typesetting.
I don't know, Rabbi.
Are you worried? Is that it?
Worried? Yes, Rabbi, maybe that's it.
About what, Otto?
We don't seem to be getting anywhere, Rabbi.
It moves slowly, Otto. A struggle for the right always moves slowly.
But why, Rabbi? Why must it go so slowly?
It goes faster than you think. You will see, Otto.
What, Rabbi?
You will see. It goes slowly first. Then suddenly it goes fast. Perhaps too fast for comfort. You will see.
Rabbi, you all right?
Yes.
You're not hurt.
A little scratch, nothing. What was it?
It's a brick. They threw a brick through the window.
That was very callous of someone.
Oh, Rabbi, how can you joke about it? You could have been hurt badly.
I can joke because I wasn't hurt, Otto.
Look, there's a note tied to it.
What does it say, Otto?
It says... Remember Elijah Lovejoy. I don't know what it means.
Otto, you should read more history.
He was a minister, Presbyterian minister in Illinois.
Why do they say we should remember him?
Maybe because he believed in freedom, Otto, and published a paper, as we do, to say so.
But why do they tell us?
One night a mob threw his press into the Mississippi River. They thought they could drown the words.
And they didn't?
He bought another press. That one they wrecked.
How, Rabbi?
They circled by night with torches and guns around the warehouse where he'd been printing, where he had the printing press. And they set the warehouse on fire.
What happened to him, Rabbi? What happened to Elijah Lovejoy?
They shot him, Otto. They killed him. Now let us go on with the printing.
We went on printing Sinai after that. Every month until last week. It has happened the way the rabbi said it would. First slowly, then fast. Faster than we could imagine. Mr. Lincoln became president and had to steal through Baltimore at night on the way to Washington because they had planned to kill him. The slavery men got bolder and bolder. And then last week I was working at the press when Mr. Lowenthal came running into our print shop.
Otto, where's the rabbi?
Lowenthal, what is it?
Oh, rabbi, quickly. You must get home at once.
What's wrong, Mr. Lowenthal? My wife, is she all right?
She's all right. The children, too. But the news, have you heard the news?
What news?
They've fired on Fort Sumter. It's begun.
Should not have come to this. Not to war.
Rabbi, you don't understand. There are mobs in the street. Secessionist mobs.
The militia will bring them under control, Mr. Lowenthal.
That's why I've come, Rabbi. The military commander of the district came to the synagogue.
The military commander? Why?
He had a list with him. A list drawn up by the secessionists.
What kind of a list, Mr. Lowenthal?
A list of anti-slavery men they've sworn to kill. Rabbi, please go home at once. Your name is on that list.
We took the rabbi home, and we had hardly shut the door when somebody went.
Who's there?
Let me in, Rabbi. It's Schoenberg.
Let him in, Otto.
Rabbi, I brought a carriage around the back of your house. You'd better hurry while there's still time.
Do you think I will go now, Mr. Schoenberg? I've told you how I feel.
Rabbi, please. It's a matter of your life.
A man's life is meaningless if he deserts his principles.
Rabbi, don't you understand? There's a mob outside that door. My son is guarding that door with a gun in his hand.
Your son?
My son and Mr. Lowenthal's son and the sons of the other members of the congregation.
Mr. Schoenberg, I thank you, but I do not think I should go.
Rabbi, it's not just you who are threatened. It's your wife, too.
My wife?
And your children.
Mr. Schoenberg, you seem more concerned about my safety than your own. You seem more worried about my children than your own.
It's something I learned from a very stubborn man, Rabbi. Will you go?
God bless you, Mr. Schoenberg. God bless you and keep you.
Let us go to the carriage.
I took the rabbi and his family to the waiting carriage. My eyes were wet with tears as I shut the carriage door.
Goodbye, Otto. It will not be forever. Do not be sad, my son.
We are defeated, Rabbi.
No, no, Otto. It is no defeat. There is no defeat while men struggle for justice and freedom.
Will we ever win, Rabbi? Will there be an end to slavery?
There will be an end to it, Otto, with God's help. If we make an end to it.
There's only a week that he is gone. But to me and to all those who worked with him, it seems an eternity. Yet I hear his words always, and perhaps others in time still to come will heed him, too.
Slavery will go, yet other evils will take its place. Still, there is hope for man who is created in God's image. There is hope and responsibility for each one towards all the others. There is hope, for each man has been granted the power to choose between good and evil. There is hope, for it is not thy duty to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Solomon Grizel of Philadelphia, editor of the Jewish Publication Society. Dr. Grizel.
The courageous Rabbi David Einhorn, the story of whose struggle against slavery has just been told, was one of many rabbis and teachers among the Jews of the United States who displayed their depth of conviction and their readiness to make sacrifices for the cause of human dignity. It was an American cause and a Jewish cause. He taught it through the eloquent printed word. He was, as our play called him, the rabbi with the ink-stained hands. Einhorn had come to the United States in 1852 after some distressing experiences of intolerance and denial of equality in the reactionary Germany and Austria of that day. He was, moreover, a profound Jewish scholar. Out of Jewish writings, he had acquired that respect for the human personality which is part of our great tradition. Numerous generations of scholars had written this ideal into numberless books. It may well be said that Einhorn stained his hands with ink in large measure because others before him had done the like. The point I want to make at this time, when Jewish Book Month is being observed throughout this country, is that books have ever been the treasure houses of those ideas and values which fashion the human spirit. Literary genre have changed from age to age, the style and even the language, but the fundamental concepts, the basic attitudes, the deep felt longings have remained unaltered and continued to build the Jewish personality. Einhorn was a rabbi. Brandeis was a judge. Einstein was a scientist. Schiff was a banker. All of them and others like them were moved by an all-embracing sense of humanity which stemmed from the tradition of their own people and redounded to the lasting benefit of all the people among whom they lived. No doubt the life of each of them held high moments of devotion like the one of which our story spoke, for their gifts of character had been fashioned by an age-old experience which had been conserved in books. Therein lies the greatest value of the book. The influence of such a book is incalculable. No wonder that among the foremost heroes of the Jewish people have been the men whose hands were stained with the writer's and the printer's ink.
Thank you, Dr. Grizel. Our eternal light drama today, The Rabbi with the Ink-Stained Hands, was written by Mark Siegel and is one of a series dramatizing outstanding moments in American Jewish history. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven as Rabbi Einhorn and Philip Sterling as Otto. Others in the cast were Merrill Joels, Maurice Tarplin, and Ivor Francis. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.